Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This is God's holy word. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Beloved, in our English Bibles, the last words of the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 4 speak of the coming of Elijah the prophet to prepare the way of the Lord. And we know that that was John the Baptist who came in the spirit of Elijah. But then the last part of Malachi reveals to us a wonderful blessing and encouragement and promise and expectation of the gospel kingdom. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. It's a beautiful picture of intergenerational love, harmony, and blessing. But we know in this world in which we live that often the hearts of the fathers are not turned to their children. There's much neglect and abandonment in our world and in our culture. And the hearts of children are not always turned to their parents. There's much rebellion and like the prodigal son going off to far-off lands and living reckless, dissolute lives. When we come to the book of Proverbs in chapter 1, we have presented to us really an outworking of this blessing of intergenerational love and blessing that we read of in the last chapter of Malachi. In the book of Proverbs, as we saw last time, the beginning and pinnacle of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. But right away in the following verses, which I think serve still by way of introduction to the particular things that are going to be said, and they're words that are repeated throughout the book to remind us of this context, right away we see that God connects wisdom and the fear of the Lord with two things: parental instruction and respect and honor toward parents. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Then right away, Solomon goes on to speak about the relationship between parents and children, the duty of parental instruction, and the response by children of respect and honor to their parents in that instruction. God's design for the generational blessing of the church and of the people of God begins with parents raising children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4, Paul says, "Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So right away we see this same scene, this context of the passing on of generational wisdom, We see it set there in Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. There are several things that we can learn in verse 8 about parents and children in the church. And also in verse 9, God provides children with a great encouragement and parents with a great hope for their children. Well, what do we see in verse 8? First of all, the assumption is there and the call is there in verse 8 to the necessity of parental instruction. The necessity of parental instruction. You know, often our first thoughts when we come to maybe a passage like this or to the book of Proverbs is toward the children and the young people and all the things that they should be doing. I mean, but the assumption of even this verse, which is speaking to children and speaking to the son of Solomon in particular, the assumption is first godly parental instruction. That has to be there before the children can respond to anything. That's what they are responding to. So it has to be there first. This is where Christ's school of wisdom first occurs. Parents teaching children. Parents teaching children. It is our solemn and sacred duty to be the teachers of our children. We have to be involved in it. God calls us to it. And not just educating them to be competent and productive in this life, people with good careers and good citizenship, but preeminently to be concerned with their spiritual instruction and conveying spiritual wisdom. And notice from verse 8 that this involves both parents. Both parents. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now, if only one parent is around or is in a certain family situation, or if only one parent is a believer in a family, that's a different story, and that has to be considered. But ordinarily, while the responsibility rests with the head of the family, the activity of instruction certainly involves both, or ought to involve both. Here he doesn't just say, fathers is up to you, mothers up to you. He mentions both. One writer says that just in general, no ancient system, so no other religion or philosophy, so fully as the Bible, recognizes the mother's just and equal claims. You know, in many societies, ancient and present, the place of women, the role of women, the status of women is put down in many ways. Not so in the Bible. In many societies, in light of a passage like this, in many cultures, the important role and place of women and then mothers needs to be taught and stressed. But you know, as I thought about this passage and this point of both the father and mother being mentioned by Solomon, I think often in our day and in our situation in the church, it's often the opposite message that needs to be preached. Often, moms are the spiritual instructors in Christian homes. And that's a wonderful blessing. Augustine, the great church father, had the wonderful blessing of his mother Monica. The Wesley boys, John and Charles, had the blessing of a godly mother who taught them the things of God. But often in the church, we are left asking, where are the men? Where are the fathers who are leading and helping in this? Boys and girls, I'm so thankful that the boys and girls that I know, that you live in homes where I know both your mom and your dad love you, and they are both concerned for your spiritual well-being. They tell me about it. I know they pray for you. I know they're both concerned, and what a wonderful blessing that is. But you know, in many places in the church, often it's the mothers who are left with that spiritual instruction. And the fathers aren't taking the role that they ought to. I've seen that more often than I would like to have seen it. I'm thankful. I had to think of my own home. I'm thankful for the instruction that Tara gives our children spiritually. When I can hear them upstairs going through the Bible and she's questioning them about the scriptures that she's reading and they're praying together. I'm so thankful for that. But I had to come to this passage too. Even as a pastor, you think, well, a pastor, of course, but a pastor in a church, you see me up here in the pulpit and teaching different things. But what about my home? Am I taking the role as father in the spiritual development of my children that I ought to take? This is a challenge to us fathers. Can be often abdicated to the mothers. But it is both the father's and mother's privilege and solemn duty to pass on biblical gospel wisdom to our children. It shouldn't be just the moms that are teaching their children to pray. Fathers, they need to be hearing you pray. It can't be just the moms that are having spiritual conversations with their children. They need to engage in those kinds of conversations with their dads. You know, I don't know what it is, if it's cultural or what it is, but often, you know, how many sons or daughters have the kind of spiritual conversations that they ought to have with their dads? And if you do, it's a great blessing. I think you often do with your moms. But dads, we need to be there. We need to be engaging our children. It's a great blessing and privilege. You know, this duty of parental instruction is so crucial. No matter where our children are schooled, whatever kind of other experiences that they have in life, it is what happens at home that makes the most difference. And I could give you stories of all sorts of situations, whether children, you know, go to Christian school, go to public school, whatever they're involved in. It's what's happening at home that sets the tone for whatever our children have going into those other contexts and situations. I thought it was interesting that Solomon says here, listen to my son, to your father's instruction. He could have just said, listen, my son, to my instruction. But he says, listen to your father's instruction. And when he says, your father, it has that note, doesn't it, of parental concern, of endearment and love and tenderness. I'm your father. The same would go with mother. I'm your mother. You love your children. You want the best for your children. Just thinking about being a father or a mother ought to be one of the greatest encouragements that we have to be passing on godly instruction and wisdom. And the duties are summarized here by Solomon in two things, both mother and father, one for each in this parallel kind of teaching. They are to be involved in instruction and teaching. Listen to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. I don't think it has to be hard and fast. We see both doing all those things throughout the rest of the book of Proverbs. It's not as if fathers are the only ones who instruct and mothers are the only ones who teach. If whatever distinction there is, I think there's overlap. But those two things, instruction and teaching. Instruction is the word that is translated in the previous section of chapter 1 as discipline. It's that word discipline. For some reason, the NIV chose to translated as instruction when it comes to verse 8. But it's that same word, discipline. And it includes instruction, but also chastening and reproof. And I thought of how the Word of God does all those things for us. And so as we bring the Word of God to our children, this is what will be happening, because all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And he says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. Literally, the word there is Torah in Hebrew. Do not forsake the Torah of your mother. And that word Torah means direction. The direction that they will be teaching you to take in life, the way to go in life. What a blessing to have God's Torah coming through your mother or through your father. God says, Deuteronomy 4:8, Moses says, what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws of Torah that I am setting before you today? And so we see positive direction and corrective discipline. And we as parents are charged with both positive instruction and corrective discipline. Not just discipline without direction. Not just correcting always and punishing always. Not just discipline without direction. And not just direction without discipline either. And we have to ask God to examine us in our parenting, because we probably tend to one or the other in excess. We either tend to be too much on the discipline side without taking time to instruct, or we tend toward being just teaching without taking the time and love that it takes to discipline and correct. Well, if parents and their godly instruction here is the assumption, what is the explicit command? It's stated positively and negatively. In light of this instruction and correction and direction, here's the command, twofold. Listen and do not forsake. Listen and do not forsake. Verse 8 begins with a word that is intended to catch attention. In the Hebrew, verse 8 starts with the Hebrew word shema. Shema, my son. Listen, my son. But for the Jews, that was such a significant word. If you know Jewish people, even today, they will speak of the great Shema, which is Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel. Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jews had that repeated into their ears from their earliest days. They had it bound on their bodies. They had it bound above their doors. There's no Jew that doesn't know Shema, O Israel. And here Solomon says to his son, Shema, Shema me, listen to me. You can imagine how their ears would perk up. This is a very important command, to listen. It's something that God takes very seriously. It's hearing and listening with the intention and desire to obey. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Hear, O Israel, with a desire and an intention to obey. That's what it means to listen. Listen to your parents' instruction. And secondly, a cautionary command. Do not forsake it. See, it's just stating the opposite for emphasis. Listen, don't forsake it. That word means don't cast it off, don't reject it, don't leave it. And how often is this the sad case, that a child who has heard the Word of God, who has been raised in the church and knowing from his mother and father the way to go, the direction to go, the Torah that God has set before them, who knows the wisdom of Scripture, at some point does exactly what Solomon says don't do. He rejects it, casts it off, forsakes it. Solomon is saying here, don't do it. Don't do that. It's foolish. It's foolish to leave, to cast off, and to reject the instruction of godly parents from the Scripture. And God, through Solomon, gives an encouraging incentive in verse 9. This instruction, this teaching, they will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Children who listen to and do not forsake godly instruction will live lives of beauty and blessing. Literally, it says it will be a chain around your neck. I thought when some kids hear that, they'll think, yeah, that's what it's like, all right. It's like a chain around my neck. But this isn't a negative. This is a beautiful, positive imagery. This chain is not a shackle. It's an ornament. It's beautiful. These kinds of chains were things of beauty and signs of wealth and prosperity in ancient times. Judges 8:26, it's one of the only other uses of this word chains in this sense. The weight of the gold rings he asked for came to 1,700 shekels, not counting the ornaments, the pendants, and the purple garments worn by the kings of Midian, or the chains that were on the camels' necks. These were items of wealth and beauty that were being brought together in the context, not in a positive way, but it speaks of the beauty, the riches, and the garland or wreath around the head was another picture of beauty and victory and joy, festive joy. We notice that Solomon says it will be a wreath of grace. Grace is the most beautiful and attractive quality. To be wise is to be a gracious person. And the most gracious people are the people who have received grace themselves. This commandment to parents and children needs to be seen in light of God's grace. Grace for the instruction that parents give to find root in the hearts of our children. Without God's grace, even the best, most faithful instruction that parents could give will be met with cold, hard hearts. With all the instruction that we give, we have to bathe it all in prayer. Prayer for the grace of God, so that our children will have ears and hearts open. And we need grace for our failures in our parental duties. You know, there's been teaching in Reformed circles sometimes that I think really presents a picture. It almost amounts to salvation of our children, salvation by parenting, instead of salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. Just do these things and your kids will be saved. It's never salvation by parenting. What a proud notion that is. The best lessons we can teach our children are the lessons of grace. That our children will see not only taught with our lips, but lived out in the lives of their parents, that both they, our children, and we as parents need God's grace, or we're lost. But God is the God of grace, and we're encouraged to pray to Him for grace for ourselves and grace for our children. He is gracious and compassionate. But with the grace of God, and with the grace of God, parents and children may and are enabled to do what God calls us to do, and by His grace, we will see this kind of blessing in our homes and in our families, and our children will be graced with beauty and blessing as they respond not just to our teaching because it's our teaching, but as they respond to the teaching of God through us, as we instruct and direct and correct. And this call in Proverbs 1:8 through 9 goes beyond families and literal physical parents and children, because as you're here tonight, you may not be directly parenting or being parented anymore. But we all still need to listen to instruction. Boys and girls, you have to understand that too, that as parents, we don't just come to a verse like this and say, yeah, that's what my kids need. They need to listen to some instruction and they need some correction. This instruction and correction is for mom and dad too. Because we are all children. We're all the children of God. And He is our Father. And so this verse applies to life in the church for all of us. Prophets in the Old Testament are often called fathers. And the people of God were called to listen to the instruction of their fathers, who are the prophets, who are teaching to them the word of God. Paul saw his ministry in the church as that of a father, instructing children. 1 Thessalonians 2:7, we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her children. We loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. There's so much there about life in the church, but also we read it back into life in the family. Parents, we need not just to share ideas and teaching with our children, we need to share ourselves with them as well, and to take the time to be with our children. He goes on to say, we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. In our families and in the church, we all need to remember that we are the children of God, the children of our Heavenly Father, the children of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And His direction and instruction and discipline are always perfect. And so the call is for each one of us to listen to Him and His word, not to forsake His teaching, and to submit to His discipline when it comes, knowing that it is for our good. Jesus said in John 6:45, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from Him comes to me. Hebrews 12:9 says, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? I don't know what it's like in your home. I don't know like what you're thinking or what your heart is engaged with as you hear a sermon about fathers and mothers and their children. If we took the time, we'd hear all sorts of different stories and experiences across the spectrum of what that is like. Presently, maybe what it was like when you were growing up in your family with your mom and dad, all sorts of things. But you know, over and above all of that, we need to remember that individually we are the children of God. And that makes all the difference through faith in Christ. That He will never stop loving us, teaching us, comforting us, disciplining us for our good. He is a Father who is never negligent. He is a Father who is never absent. He does all the fatherly things perfectly for His children. That's our great comfort. That's where we have to go. That's where I have to go as a father, a sinful, failing father. That's where mothers have to go, who can be overwhelmed with the responsibility and the burdens, and they're real burdens, they're heavy burdens, of being a mom in a home. But every father and mother is a son and daughter of God through faith in Christ. And we need to go to our Father. We need to see that His instruction is for our blessing and for our good, and it will be a wreath of grace around our heads and a chain as an ornament around our necks so that what God said to Joshua will be true of each one of us. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to it from to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law, of the Torah, depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful.